Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back to Old School, hour two of the show, 402-464-5685. Going to be a part of the conversation. A lot of good stuff going on that starter, Heyman Bueller's text line. Austin Orman, Nick Sainer with you here for Old School. Talk to Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald. Some Husker football, probably some Husker baseball fall ball as well coming up here at the bottom of the hour.
A lot of commits. Yeah. We'll see.
We're about it. Let's just go back to the text line here really quick. 1508. Says, take away Nebraska's money. They're nothing but Purdue.
Ooh.
They're Kansas a couple years ago.
Ooh.
I don't want to just say rings, but peep the rings. I would also say Kansas and Purdue are basketball schools. Nebraska is still a football school. And yes, Nebraska has done the whole 3-9, 4-8, 5-7 thing. Mm-hmm. But you, pulling out that comparison, 1508, wildly misunderstand how bad a situation Les Miles left Kansas in and just how dire things were for Ryan Walters in Purdue as recently as last year.
That's another coach I think is better than what the situation had.
Walters?
Yeah. I think if you put Ryan Walters at Colorado as an alum, maybe not the national awareness that obviously Coach Prime, but I think they're serviceable. I think he's still there.
Probably.
Daryl Hazel left Purdue in a bad spot too. That speaks to what Jeff Brohm was able to do.
Brohm might be underrated though.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Jeff Brohm put Purdue at their ceiling.
Which, again, if you're a Purdue fan, that's where that jealousy comes in. Our ceiling's 8-4 when Indiana can hit the playoff.
Ooh, yeah.
I'd be pissed.
I don't
think like that.
Yeah, that's what's interesting. And going back to Oklahoma State from way back in the first segment. They're a football school slightly, right? Like they're you don't look at them as a basketball program or basketball school. That's where Nebraska is certainly a football place. I mean, that's not a hot take at all. I think the other part is fan investment. Mm-hmm. The fan investment in Nebraska is ridiculous in comparison to Purdue or Northwestern or Kansas.
Oh yeah. Nebraska volleyball nut says, correction, Nebraska is a volleyball school.
Yes, they are. I'm not getting into that conversation.
Sure.
People on Twitter, man, Twitter's been a bad place to be these last couple of weeks. People talking about rev sharing and people talking about rev sharing with volleyball. And if the football money's shared, I just need to get off Twitter for a while.
Oh, come on. You'd miss it.
I don't know. We're going to find out this weekend. I think I'm going to turn off notifications this weekend.
I will say, I think you have a better chance of staying off Twitter longer than a mutual friend of ours. Who seems to delete it.
We love him, but that man tries to get rid of his profile week after week.
And he just always comes crawling back.
Yep.
It's always hilarious. We do. Yeah. 2 days in a row with an allusion to that friend.
Yes.
As well. But you know what? Let's move on to the topic at hand. The issues that Nebraska has faced in recent years, say the last 15 years, are just college football issues. I think the easy surface level one is Florida canceled a non-conference series. There's all this uproar about Nebraska. It blew over in like 3 minutes for Florida. Mm-hmm. No national reaction. No, none of that. So guess what? You might not like it, but it's normal. Okay, now the ones that actually matter. Illinois. Nick, they had their moment, like you said. They were there. They were ready to seize the moment. Yeah. You know what? In Indiana, Illinois, they're right next door to each other. We got to prove that we're the Big Ten team, that we belong, and that we're going to put Kurt Cignetti in his place. Mm-hmm. You know what Nebraska is familiar with from Illinois, and they can relate? Blowouts in primetime. It's your biggest game of the year up to this point.
That sucks.
It does. It sucks to say. It's horrible. But one of my buddies texted me after the game. It's like, well, yeah, Nebraska, Michigan was bad. But, you know, you could be Illinois right now. My first reaction was, Nebraska has been Illinois.
Illinois has been Nebraska. I mean, look at every single before this year against Cincinnati, every single opener. Single opener, whether mm-hmm. it's whether it was at Illinois in 2021 or whether it was at Minnesota in 2023. That's where I wonder, going back to the question I posed last segment for a second, was, is it possible that programs hire good coaches and that the program is the issue?
Oh, yeah.
That's what mm-hmm. I wonder, because Matt Rhule says it nauseam, and I don't blame him for this. Like, he doesn't want to be, he doesn't want to be talked in the same light as things that happened in 21 or things that happened in 2018 or whatever it might have been, right? Mm-hmm. But also, you're starting to see similar patterns, because Nebraska's not going to be 3-9 this year. Like, they're not going to be, they're going to make a bowl game. Like, Nebraska's making a bowl game.
If it doesn't happen, I expect y'all to clip this.
I don't know what I can put on the line if Nebraska doesn't make a bowl game. I mean, here's the thing. So I think in all seriousness, though, like, we understand that Matt Rhule doesn't want to be compared to those things that happened prior to his arrival. Mm-hmm. But now you're a part of Nebraska and you're a part of this program. And as things stack up, like losses on big stages, just naturally we're going to clump you into that conversation.
Yeah.
Until you prove it otherwise. Mm-hmm. And maybe for me, a win against Cincinnati, if that's your marquee win, is not what we signed up for at Nebraska.
No. And here's the thing. I think that in a lot of ways, Matt Rhule can be the Mark Jackson, potentially, right? With the Warriors, build them back up.
Yeah.
And then it's on Matt Rhule to prove that that's not all he is.
Yeah.
Because he's had these struggles everywhere he's gone. Until he proves otherwise and his programs prove otherwise, that's what the conversation around Matt Rhule is going to be. I think of it this way too, Nick, because I 100% agree that there are a bunch of good coaches out there mm-hmm. that don't become head coaches by accident, that work their way up the totem pole, that grind, that know what they're talking about, that could give you all the buzzwords and mean it about culture, about program building, about talent, about recruiting, about alignment, about rev share, you name it. They know the answer. Mm-hmm. Now, some of those good coaches will be best served staying in a coordinator role. Some of those coaches will need to do everything their way, carve their own path. It's never just one guy. Like at Indiana, it's not just Kurt Cignetti. The players, it's the assistant coaches, it's Scott Dolson, the AD. Sure, there's some upper level alignment there. It's the boosters, it's the donors, it's everything. But what I think Nebraska is searching for in a lot of ways is that cycle disruptor. Mike mm-hmm. Riley was never going to be that, plain and simple.
Yeah.
You know, he was supposed to be the stability guy.
That's
Scott Frost.
That's a perfect way to say it.
Scott Frost was going to be that guy.
Yeah.
Turns out he wasn't. Matt Rhule kind of, again, feels like the stability hire. Let's get a professional in the room, and that can work. But right now, through 2 years and change, it's too early to say, you know, Matt Rhule has shocked the system. And maybe it's not a shock, right? That's mm-hmm. not what Matt Rhule was going for, right? Kurt Cignetti was the shock, and it's more than him. But I think about this in the context of players, too. People heard me today with Bach talk about Emmett Johnson. I brought this up with Ja'Cory Barney over the last couple of days as well.
Sure.
You cannot change a game, a program, a team individually. You can't do it. It's too much for one person. But you know what? Are you telling me that the Purdue team that Rondale Moore played on was better than the team that Ja'Cory Barney is playing on right now? You know, and Rondale Moore is an elite player. Like, that's an all-timer at Purdue who was unfortunately hampered by injuries. But guess what? He was a shock to the system. There was enough infrastructure around him to allow him to be himself and put up those numbers. But whether it's a coach, whether it's a player some of these changes need to be a shock to the system, need to be a jolt that will start with one person with the force of personality or the talent that shocks the system that says, oh, great, we got to wake up. We got to raise our level. Then everyone else comes alongside. There hasn't been that jolt to Nebraska that we've sensed yet.
Is it obviously you've wanted that to be Matt Rhule, but isn't that another reason why you brought Dylan Raiola in?
Yeah.
Like, couldn't you view him as like, okay, Nebraska has a five-star quarterback. It's time.
Yeah.
Like, shock to the system. This is something that Nebraska hasn't had.
But then, you know, at Indiana, everything goes right around them last year. Not everything has gone right around
Dylan. I was just going to say that. Talk about cycle disruptors cursing Eddie.
Yeah.
Brings a mentality. You said it perfectly during commercial break when we were talking about it. I hate how much I respect Kurt Cignetti. I hate it. It's not me wishing for his downfall. It's not me wishing for him to fail. I just wish I didn't. I wish it wasn't possible to say, yeah, look at what Cignetti's done at Indiana and use it as a conversation piece when talking about what we want from Nebraska. Cycle disruptor is great. I think that's a perfect adjective kind of comparison, what you want to happen there. Because it feels not monotonous, but it feels like same thing over and over. Bring in a highly rated guy. Hopefully this one sticks. Bring in a new coach. Hopefully this one provides a new energy and just hope that it works out on Saturdays. There's a lot of hoping. A lot of hoping. That's where, once again, it pisses me off how much I can quote and refer to Kurt Cignetti, because one thing that's not going on over there is hoping. It is full belief.
They do. And this is not to discredit Matt Rhule, you know, say that his way is wrong and Kurt Cignetti's way is right. He is doing it the way that he knows how to do it.
And I think there's more than one way to do it.
Absolutely, there is. But it was obvious from the get-go, the shock that Kurt Cignetti provided to the system. Get me average resources here and I'll win, right? It's not obvious to me from the outside that Matt Rhule has sent a shock through the system.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's better alignment with him and Troy Dannon in the collective. I mean, there's a great article in The Athletic from Penn State. Have they had some of the same kind of infighting, the different collectives that they all had to get on the same page, and then their NIL really took off? I am not saying Matt Rhule hasn't done anything right at Nebraska.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Matt Rhule, had he done everything 100% correct, would have had the same results as Kurt Cignetti. Different places, different contexts, and that's important. But if Matt Rhule is going to be the guy to get Nebraska to the college football playoff and the heights that Nebraska fans want this program to get back to, he needs to disrupt that cycle somehow. And I just don't know if it's obvious yet if he's done that, and if so, what that shock has been.
And I don't know, like, and this is why we don't get paid the big bucks, right, from Nebraska, and why we're not Nebraska head coach. I don't know what it is. I would imagine that maybe that is what gets coaches fired eventually, not Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
But other coaches is that they just don't know which way to turn. Like, they don't know which button to push. They don't know what switch to flip.
Right.
And that's when you can get into the cycle. Okay, going full circle, Mike Gundy. Like, whether it was he doesn't know in this new day and age of college football which button to push, or whether it's he doesn't want to, right? Whichever, for whatever reason, it just was done. It was done. And when you get to that point, it's a real slippery slope, because things can go. It's like money, right? It's easy to spend it when you have a lot of it. It's easy to spend it when you have, and it goes away fast. You get broke fast when you have a lot of money. It takes a long time to get to be a millionaire, but you can blow millions in the blink of an eye. And that's what it feels like with college football programs right now. It can take, there's quick fixes, right? But from a stability standpoint, it's going to take a couple of years to really prove if it's stable. But man, you can fall off and you can fall down quick if you're not careful.
A couple things from our Sardar Heyman Jewelers text line. Jesse, a good leader doesn't change everything himself. He puts good people around him to change everything. Sometimes that's a build. Sometimes that's a burn. We can say pretty clearly, Nick, the first 2 years of Matt Rhule being at Nebraska didn't have the right people around him to change everything.
Yeah, there's been a lot of turnover.
And that's fine. You got to get to the healthy spot. Let's get to this then. From Unmasked Texter, here's a culture shock. Win the trenches on both sides of the ball. It's that simple. Let's think through that. Donovan Raiola has probably improved Nebraska's offensive line over the last 2 years and change. Been a slow process, and it's still middle of the road to slightly above.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Braden just got here. Okay, so the coaches weren't immediate impact guys, necessarily. They're build guys. They're slow burn guys. So be it. But is that a shock to the system? Not yet. So then you're going to the players. Nebraska hasn't brought in Caden Proctor. You get Bricks and Pyle. And yes, we know that it's hard to start on the offensive line as a freshman in the Big Ten. That shouldn't be the expectation. But was Ben Scott the disruptor that, you know, created a lineage of centers? No. Rocco Spindler isn't, you know, lighting the world on fire. He's not bad, but tackles are what get you paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
The cycle disruptor would have been Elijah Pritchett comes in, starts from the jump, has cleaned up his issues when he's in a system that gives him discipline and works for him. He hasn't been that. Williams Nwarney had a year at Missouri last year. He's a guy that looks the part of a cycle disruptor, a shock to the system.
Yeah.
Hasn't been that at all.
Could you argue that he's been the closest?
He's played pretty well.
I think he's been the closest.
But this is my point. The closest still isn't there.
Mm.
You know, and that's goes back to what Matt Rhule said on Monday about the Michigan game. Well, you know, if it'd be concerning if we were giving up 6 yards a run every time, then it's okay, they can do this whenever they want, which Michigan kind of did to ice the game. But before that, it was just the big runs. But Matt Rhule said it was a different issue every time. I think it's in a lot of ways a different issue every time for Nebraska as well, Nick, because against Michigan, you could tell the difference sometimes in talent. In the trenches, yes, but Justice Haynes is a better running back than Ja'Cory Barney is receiver right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best player on the field for Nebraska either way, or, you know, on the field either way, Michigan's guy was just a little bit better. Okay, there it's talent. When Nebraska loses to Minnesota, is it a talent issue? Shouldn't be.
No.
It should be something else. You know, when Nebraska is in these close games with Wisconsin and Iowa, is that a talent issue? No, it's probably something else. And maybe it's talent. Maybe we underrate Iowa's talent because they have that narrative around them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just Nebraska's not good enough. You can fix in recruiting. It's not the resources like you talked about on the drive.
Yeah.
Seems like the coaching has gotten better. Seems like there's better alignment. So you got to try something till it works, but you also can't panic change everything just because it's not working right now.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I think that I would like a true assessment on how fans feel about Nebraska's coaching staff. And this isn't once again, do we know a lot about them? Like what is the fan opinion of EJ Barthel? What is the fan opinion of, like, Addison Williams is too new, Coach Braden's too new, Phil Simpson's too new, right? We know how the collective fan base feels about Dana Holgorsen, that they really like Dana, and that they were, I mean, quick to it.
Is that
in comparison to what it was under Marcus Satterfield, or is that looking at Dana independently?
Is Nebraska a place that needs to hire this is going to come off of the negative connotation. I don't mean it that way. Is Nebraska a place that needs to hire the retread with the resume? Or does Nebraska need to be the coaching incubator where Nebraska has the hotshot up and comer?
I don't think you can be right now.
Isn't that Matt Rhule's thing? We need to find these coaches and develop them into that. They're not there.
How much credit? Okay, here's this. Tony White's going to get a job after this season, a head coaching job.
You and I have slight disagreements on where that job could be.
But he's going to get one.
Odds are good. Odds are good.
Especially if Florida State continues to win.
Mm-hmm.
I think that ultimately it's kind of crazy. Coaches, I'm just fascinated by the way that fans view coaches. Mm-hmm. I am, because the resume with the tread on the tires is a really interesting phrase. And I think that if you would have asked Husker fans when Matt Rhule got here, the answer is, well, no, we don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you've had it, is that what you're falling in love with?
Right.
I don't know. Like, this isn't me asking listeners to rank your coaches. Hey, all right, who should be on the chopping block and who shouldn't be? But in all seriousness, like, we talk so much about the head coach and the coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
We've forgotten that Marcus Satterfield's still on the staff of a tight end room that has had a little bit of struggle with injuries. And Luke Lindemeyer's good, right? But now there's a lot of new faces too. How do fans feel about John Butler ultimately? I asked the question because we don't know. I think the consensus is still out on a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And a big part of whether or not you're successful as a coach is what we said earlier, who you put around yourself.
And this goes back to, just keep looping this conversation in. John Butler's a great example. He's been pretty good through his first five games as Nebraska's defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Boston College, not a great offense, held him below 20 points. Held Cincinnati to 17 points, even with the weaknesses that Nebraska showed. That's not nothing. You pitched the first shutout since 2009. That's on the resume. You only give up a touchdown with your two and a halves against Houston Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the disruptive nature of John Butler, if he was, again, four games in a bowl game in, is far too early to judge. But if he was, you know, a no-doubt stud of a coordinator. Now, why didn't this guy have a job as a defensive coordinator before? And I get it, he was coaching in the NFL. But you hold Michigan in the 20s, and your defense finds a way to get off the field and could give the offense, still, I think, the strength of Nebraska's team, a chance to win the game. That's not all on John Butler. A lot of it's on the players as well. But no one on Nebraska's coaching roster, and very few players for Nebraska, have hit their 90th percentile outcome.
Yeah.
At the same time or consistently. It's always been the, okay, it's better than it's been. It's not the 50th percentile, but it's not the, hey, they really hit and everything went right. And that leaves Nebraska right where it's at.
We have Eric and Lincoln chimes in, says, who knew about Tony White when he was hired? I will push back on that one. A lot of people did. Because if you look at what he did at Syracuse, he improved their defense like 85 or 90 spots from 2021 to 2022. And significantly improved. He was a Broyles Award finalist in 22. He was a Broyles Award finalist at Nebraska in 2023. So there was a lot of people, but I get your point, Eric and Lincoln, is that Matt Rhule has shown an ability to identify good coaches, right? Like I think, frankly, like I think Evan Cooper's fine too. Just there was some other stuff that happened, right? And ultimately, like it's okay if Nebraska's. People are freaking out. I got a text after our first segment talking about Oklahoma State, where I got a text from a friend that was like, I'm hearing Oklahoma State might be contacting Dana Holgorsen. Is that something to be worried about? If it is, great. That means usually that Nebraska is in a pretty good spot.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't poaching Tony White if Nebraska's defense sucks.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So like,
and then what's the mark of a good program?
Your ability to replace and not take a step backwards. And that is why I think this year is so crucial for Rhule. Mm-hmm. Next year's schedule is incredibly difficult. Incredibly difficult. You have like this is something I said off air, and I can now bring it to air. Is that you have to win enough this year to be able to handle and be able to take on a setback next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because looking at it from a 100% realist point of view, and I hope Nebraska shocks the crap out of me and they run the table next year. But taking it from a 100% realist example or end point of view, you have to win enough this year to be able to withstand the pressures and the disappointments that are just inevitably going to come next year.
Mm-hmm.
If we're looking at this big picture. We have this from the text line. Horns down says, pump the brakes, young bloods. A lot of season left to start judging the coaching. We're not calling for people's jobs. Nowhere in this conversation have Austin and I said, this guy needs to be let go. Should this guy be let go? Give us your thoughts. It's more so of there's a lot of unknowns.
But are you telling me that 2.5 years is not enough time to judge E.J. Barthel?
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to tell me? That 2.5 years isn't enough to judge the job Donovan Raiola has done?
Bingo. I was going to say, well, and that's just under Matt Rhule. Right. We forget that Donovan was the one.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Carryover from the previous staff.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating conversation, and it's a perfect bi-week conversation because I think from the fans' perspective, there's a lot of soul-searching going on about what's going on at the program, and I think internally, there should be a lot of soul-searching.
Which is kind of a funny spot to be for a team that's 3-1,
yeah,
where we all expected them to be,
yeah,
hoping for 4-0, but 3-1 after your first four games,
sure,
you're on pace.
Yeah.
Again, you're not ahead of schedule, you're on schedule,
yeah,
which is right where it seems.
And
like
that's a point Matt Rhule made, and I agree with him in this, is that through four games, there's been a lot of things that you need to clean up. But on the flip side of it, there's been a lot of things that have gone well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback is one of them. One interception.
Yeah.
Well, we came in, everybody clamoring into the beginning of the season, got to improve the touchdown to interception ratio. 11-1 is not bad through four games, no matter who you play.
Absolutely. Nick Sainert, Austin Norman. We got Evan Blander at the Omaha World Herald after this.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back to it. It is Old School, 93.7 Ticket, ticketfm.com. Big thanks to Nick Sainert hanging out with me for the first hour and a half or so of the show. We're headed to our Aloe Fiber VIP line, where we will be joined by Evan Bland of the Omaha World Herald. Evan, a happy bye week to you. Or are you using it to get in some practice articles, or are you taking the week off to rest and recover?
No, it's not a bye week on this end. No, it's a little bit of look back, a little bit of first third of the season in review kind of stuff, and taking a peek ahead to Michigan State. So no bye week over here, just like you guys, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you said it right there. First third of the season. It's not late, but it's not early anymore. Only one conference game in the books, but a third of the season gone by. Nebraska football sits at 3-1. Evan, based on what you've seen through four games, you can go with the record, you can go with just how Nebraska's looked on the field. Do the 2025 Cornhuskers look like they're playing about to the level you expected they would be here at the start of year three under Matt Rhule?
Yeah, I think so. I think the areas where they have shown improvement are areas that you generally could see how that would happen in the off season. Like, I think special teams has objectively been better, and that was an expectation based on what Mike Eckler did and a lot of the pieces that they brought in. People expected, I think, Dylan Raiola to have improved, and I think that's the case. I mean, he clearly looks like someone who's more of a veteran now in college football, comfortable making changes at the line and knowing what he's looking for in the defense. And I think the things that Nebraska is struggling with are things that were question marks, quite honestly. I mean, we've talked about the defensive line and how you replace the starters that they had last year, and it just didn't look like that next impact person was there. Not that they can't get better and figure it out, but like, that was an area that I think you could have, and we did point to in the spring and the summer as a question. Same thing with running back depth, where you knew what you had in Emmett Johnson, but there were just a lot of unproven options behind him, and that remains the case too. So, my prediction before the year was 8-4. I think that was kind of the popular record probably. And I don't know that anything we've seen changes that necessarily. I mean, Michigan was viewed as a pick'em game by fans, by odds makers in Las Vegas and elsewhere too. So part of the mark of this team now in the next month is going to be, can you beat teams that you're going to be favored against? And I think they will be the favorites in at least half of the games coming up in October. And, you got to obviously continue to improve and evolve. But, yeah, I think what we've seen from them to this point is things that we could have and oftentimes did foresee even just a month ago.
That's the point that Nick and I spent some time on a little earlier in the show. And I even mentioned something to that effect this morning. I'm glad you see it the same way. And it seems like this has been just the progression for Matt Rhule, right? That we heard so much about. It doesn't seem like Nebraska's in for that huge jump in year three to double-digit wins. Of course, it's still on the table with eight games remaining. But it seems like this is more the slow build, the grind of the process compared to maybe what Kurt Cignetti did overnight at Indiana. And Nebraska, I agree, is playing like an 8-4 football team. But the direction that Nick and I went with that, Evan, is that we still sense some jealousy, not just from Nebraska, but people all across the country from, you know, Indiana and what Kurt Cignetti has done. You know, Matt Rhule and Kurt Cignetti are not the same type of person. And I think Husker fans need to realize, A, that, you know, just because it worked at Indiana doesn't mean it would for sure work at Nebraska. But also, I can kind of sympathize with Husker fans, you know, when they look over to Bloomington and see those immediate signs of success. Why can't that be us? Not saying Matt Rhule can't get there, but he hasn't yet. And I can understand Husker fans maybe feeling a little jilted about not having, you know, their chance to start 4-0 and beat Michigan, similar to what Indiana did in beating Michigan last year.
Yeah, and certainly those emotions are going to be accentuated this week when you have an extra few days to chew on what just happened against Michigan, because I think a lot of fans thought and hoped and that it would be sort of the Nebraska arrives game against Michigan. You had the big window, national TV slot, Bud Crawford's in the house, the long losing streak to top 25 teams was on the line. It just felt like, man, if you're going to announce yourself that you're here and it's year three and Matt Rhule and Nebraska's going to take off, like that was going to be the stage to do it on. And so I think there's a little bit of extra disappointment this week. And then, yeah, you start to have a little bit of a wandering eye and you look around and you see what Indiana's done and Kurt Cignetti. And, you know, I think based on what they just did against Illinois, they might actually have a better team this year than they did a year ago, which is incredibly impressive for a program that has very little football history to speak of. And it's not just Indiana too. Like I've been thinking over the years, like how many other teams in the Big Ten have popped up and had that one, at least that one memorable season, right? I mean, Purdue played for a Big Ten championship a few years ago. Northwestern was a West Division champ not all that long ago. You can kind of just go down the line.
Minnesota.
Illinois has had its time in the sun. And like Nebraska, for all of its resources and passion and the things around football being in place, like it just hasn't popped in that big season that ends with a New Year's Day bowl game or being in the CFP conversation now. And so like, I think that's probably the most frustrating thing. And you look around college football every week, there's a top 25 upset and you're seeing fans storm the field somewhere. And you just kind of, you know, you can get a little lonely probably and just be like, why can't that happen here once or twice? Like sports are supposed to be an outlet. They're at their best. They're one of those things where you say, I remember where I was when this happened or that happened. And it's just been those moments have been very few and far between for Nebraska football. Last Saturday had the opportunity to be one. It didn't happen. And so now you're kind of left building back up again. You need to have a nice month of October, and maybe that would set the stage for another possibly ranked matchup with USC in early November. So like you're kind of having to take a step back, take a little bit of a longer view. And it's definitely frustrating when you're seeing other schools achieve it quicker.
Well, and then when you talk about the company that you're keeping, Rutgers isn't exactly the fan base that Nebraska fans want to go hang out with and have a beer. You know, that's not the shoulder that Husker fans are looking to cry on necessarily. And that's not to minimize the job that Greg Schiano has done and bringing some level of respect back to that program. But at some point, there needs to be a shock to the system. Maybe Matt Rhule's done that and it's just taking some time to bear out. But, you know, it's the cycle's still the same for Nebraska. And that's the, you know, $70 million question or whatever that Matt Rhule has to answer. Let's talk about that schedule, Evan. Here at the first bye week, four games down for Nebraska. They'll play six more before they get their second bye week of the year between the road trip out to UCLA and the road trip out to Happy Valley. for Nebraska to continue to be on schedule in year three under Matt Rhule, what do you think Nebraska's record needs to be over these next six games beginning a week from Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of almost look at it in just the month of October to start with, where you've got, you know, Michigan State, and then you go to Maryland and Minnesota on the Friday night, and Northwestern. Like, that's one, that's a stretch to me where you got to go 3-1, I think, in that window there. And you know, Nebraska's had struggles at Minnesota through the years, and their style, Minnesota's style has often just given them fits. But even if you were to lose that game on a Friday night, I think those other three games, you're probably going to be favored or believe that you should win. You know, USC coming to town will be a little tough. And then you mentioned UCLA, like who knows what that team's going to be in early to mid November. So like, I think, you know, 4-2 is probably a realistic expectation for that. But like, again, I kind of see USC as that next big chance for Nebraska to show that it's taken a step and can be relevant nationally. And like, to do that, you got to win some of these games against teams that are, in terms of success, they're your peers right now. You know, I know Nebraska fans don't want to hear that, you know, Michigan State and Maryland are kind of they're equals right now, but that's sort of the case. And so you're still waiting for that big win over a ranked team. But in the meantime, you got to take care of business. And maybe that's the next step for this program, is to show that you do belong in that upper middle class of the Big Ten. And to do that, you need to take care of some of these games. Michigan State has quite a few flaws. Maryland, yeah, they went to Wisconsin and won. I think that says more about the Badgers than it does the Terps. Northwestern, you know, they may be looking for a new coach next year, potentially. So, like, you got to go in there as the more established, well-resourced team and take care of business. That's what I'm looking for in this next month, is to, if Nebraska wants to show that it can be nationally relevant and deserves consideration about being in the top 25, these are the games you got to take care of.
I think I like what you said about USC coming home. It's going to be that next opportunity. Of course, the blackout there, and probably a night game on November 1st. But for me, Evan, I would still see a sign of growth in the program if they go to Minnesota and win. To me, it would be kind of that next step, the next logical step after getting off the schneid against Wisconsin. I mean, there's no reason that series should have gone that heavily in Wisconsin's favor for that long, with all the chances that Nebraska had throughout the years to put an end to that losing streak sooner. But PJ Fleck has owned Nebraska. It's a short week. It's on the road. And Minnesota's no pushover. They're no slouch. Like, even if it was the 2020 COVID Gophers that Nebraska was playing, you still worry about the PJ Fleck voodoo and what have you. But as big as USC could and should be on November the 1st, I still think it's a sign of growth, a step in the right direction for the program to handle back-to-back road trips on a short week against a team that owns you and find a way to win that game. It wouldn't be as meaningful, but I think for all the Husker fans that just gotten annoyed by Minnesota, given their style of play and everything you mentioned, I think that's the next big test for Nebraska. How do they handle that? If they can win that one, that to me is a step in the right direction.
No, I agree. Like, the thing about the Minnesota game, and I thought this before the season too, it's an interesting game because from a national perspective, it's not going to move the needle that much. If you're a casual college football fan and you see Nebraska beating Minnesota, you're going to, you know, move on to the next score. Like, that's just not going to grab your attention the way that beating a Michigan or USC would. But I agree. Like, if you're locked in on Nebraska and what this program can do to show some tangible signs of progress, then that Minnesota game is one of your top three or four most interesting games of the year, in my opinion, because of the track record, because their style of play has been one that's given Nebraska fits. You know, I think that's a team that you prefer to play earlier in the season than later. They tend to figure themselves out and get comfortable in kind of their, time of possession controlling style, where they're going to run it at you. And certainly with the state of what Nebraska's in right now, with questions on the defensive line, like, you can bet Minnesota's looking at that Michigan tape and saying, we're going to try that. Let's compress the formation and pound it up the middle and see if we can break a few long ones the way that Michigan did. So yes, from a, I think a a more of a local view almost, or just within the program, that would be an important win. That's a team that you need to get past if you want to be nationally relevant. You kind of talk about like leveling up if you're playing a video game or something. Mm-hmm. Like that's the boss that you face before you face the bigger boss. And so I think internally, certainly that's when you want to prove that you can win before you start attacking some of these national brands.
The issues for Nebraska through four games have been the rush defense and the rush offense. Over the course of the next, we'll just take that six-game window, which do you have more confidence in improving, Nebraska's running game on offense or Nebraska's ability to stop the run on defense?
I think the rushing attack offensively isn't in as dire a straits as it appears. I think the Michigan defensive front seven is incredibly impressive. It might be the toughest that Nebraska faces this year. That's an old O-line that the Huskers have. I think the interior is certainly solid, and you're going to have to figure it out at tackle, whether that's Elijah Pritchett or Gunnar Gatula is back there. But as long as Emmett Johnson stays healthy, I think they find a way to be serviceable enough there. I'm not saying they're going to be a great rushing team, but I think you can do enough with Emmett Johnson with those upperclassmen blockers. I think you can get creative in how you rush. Maybe that's statistically a pass, but it could be a screen or a little sweep or something like that. I think you can get creative in that way. The other side of it, though, to me is the bigger question, where again, how many Big Ten offensive coordinators are going to be watching that Michigan film and saying, we're going to try that? And so Nebraska is going to see a ton of power runs until they can prove that they can stop it. And so maybe they'll show that against Michigan State, maybe, and which, by the way, has a mobile quarterback in Aiden Childs. Maybe that's something that they're going to have to work through. But from Nebraska's perspective, your personnel is what it is. You can maybe tweak your rotations a little bit, but I think schematically, you're just going to have to figure out, are we going to be a team that defends the run straight up? Are we going to stunt our linemen? Are we going to try to confuse the offense a little bit more? I think that's something, to me, I'll be really curious how they work through that in the bye week and what that looks like against Michigan State.
Evan, our throngs of fans would not let me allow you to leave old school without an update on Nebraska baseball, obviously in the throes of fall baseball. A lot going on in the recruiting realm. A couple of pitchers added to the 2026 class. What can you tell us about the arms Nebraska added for next year?
Yeah, they've been busy. A couple junior college additions. Keston Holman is one. He's a guy who had a lot of looks, from other programs in the region, certainly. And they've been busy too with the 27s. They had their first two class of 2027 kids commit here in the last few days. And it's a little bit more of a delayed satisfaction with baseball recruiting. Like you talk about 27, these are kids who will be freshmen for the 28 season. So you're a little ways away there, but I'm always curious when I talk to those guys, like who else is interested in them. And you had some notable other schools that were after them. This Braden Shannon is a long-term shortstop prospect who was getting looks from Oregon and some other schools. So, they're working at it. I think the Michigan football weekend was a big recruiting weekend for Nebraska baseball. I think they had five or six guys in just to check out the campus and the facilities and things. And now they've already gotten at least one commitment out of that. So we'll see if that bears a little bit more fruit here in the coming days and weeks, but they're certainly staying busy with it. And I think more than anything, you're seeing a focus on pitching. You're seeing a few bats as well, but really a heavy emphasis on arms and finding some depth there, guys who can throw strikes. And the Huskers feel like they're doing that with a mix of guys who've maybe proven it at the junior college level, and then guys who have the stuff, and maybe they just need to unlock their command a bit more.
There you have it, Husker football and Husker baseball insight from Evan Bland of the Omaha World. Herald, Evan, have a great rest of your not-so-relaxing bye week, as it is around these parts this time of year. We'll see you around here at some press conferences in the near future.
Thanks, Austin. See ya.
Evan joined us on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. Aloe's where they understand the importance of exceptional service with Local Heart. We also want to let you know that this segment was brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They're based out of Hallam, Nebraska, and they offer a free estimate, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. Heartland of Nebraska Windows is locally and family owned with their own team of installers. Give Heartland of Nebraska Windows a call today for more information at 402-430-3852, or you can visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. Short segment to wrap up hour two of Old School. Hour three is all about you. What's on your mind? Let me know on our Sider Heyman Jewelers text line, 402-464-5685. Eric in Lincoln in 3581. We will get to your text. If not to end up this hour, that's how we'll lead off the 5 o'clock hour of Old School.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in. It is Old School, wrapping up hour two of the show. Still lots to go. Going to be a jam-packed final hour of the show. If you're driving by 1040 O Street, hit us with a what's up. Hit us with a wave. Would love to see you. Would love to hear from you. Sider Heyman Jewelers text line or Honda of Lincoln hotline. Same number available for you. 402-464-5685. One text to get to here from 5029. Indiana is the new Boise State. Oh, boy. Can you be the new Boise State when you're in a power conference? I think I get what you're trying to say, but man, Indiana is a Big Ten team. You know, when we talk about the lack of resources at Indiana, that's lack of resources relative to their peers, relative to their neighbors, relative to the Big Ten, the SEC, and maybe some upper level ACC and Big 12 schools. Indiana should, you know, there's always going to be the good and bad teams in every conference, in every sport. There are teams that have, there are teams that have not. Boise State, what the Broncos did, the run that they had under Chris Peterson going there for a while, I mean, that what they did wasn't incredible. I mean, knocking off those power conference teams without the resources, just good old-fashioned spit, grit, and determination. So I hesitate to say that Indiana is the next Boise State just because they're a power conference team. What I am curious to see is if there's a different school that can become the next Boise State. It's been kind of a rotating door. Boise gets the spot last year with a generational guy in Genty. Tulane beats USC a few years ago. They're on the up and up. Looked like it could have been Louisiana, but App State has fallen off. There's really not that major power player in Group of Five football right now. Memphis, maybe. Liberty, not what it was. Obviously, getting boat raced by Oregon in a major bowl not that long ago. If you had to ask me to pick, I think Memphis probably has the best shot to build something sustainable right now. But then there's the Memphis of it all, and it remains to be seen. So, no, I don't think Indiana is ultimately the new Boise State. I wonder if we do end up seeing a new Boise State, a team that's able to consistently carve out a role in the college football playoff, become a character that we all get used to knowing and loving and rooting for in an upset, or if that's going to continue to be that kind of rotating cast of characters. That'll put a bow on hour two of Old School. When we get back, more of your text, 402-464-5685, 3581, Eric and Lincoln, Old Dad 34. We'll get to you leading off the 5 o'clock hour.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.